The new league phase table is really starting to take shape after a fabulous start to match day three. A stunning Vinicius Junior hat-trick inspired Real Madrid to a dramatic comeback win against Dortmund. But it's Aston Villa who lead the way after they extended their golden start to life in the UEFA Champions League. There were impressive wins for AC Milan, Monaco, Arsenal, Girona, Sporting and Stuttgart too. We'll review it all, including three penalty saves, and we'll look ahead to nine more matches on Wednesday. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott and delighted to be joined by the former Arsenal, Juventus and England forward Leanne Sanderson.
Hi Chris.
And to the football commentator Richard Kaufman.
Hello.
Well, you two had the absolute privilege of watching a wonderful match at the Bernabeu this evening. It finished Real Madrid 5, Borussia Dortmund 2. That doesn't really tell half the story. Rich entertainment from minute one, in a repeat, of course, of last season's final.
Gives it to Guirassy, into Daniel Marlon, and Borussia Dortmund take the lead. It's Daniel Marlon. Is there going to be a big upset tonight in the Spanish capital? Borussia Dortmund take the lead. He goes to the byline, pulls it across, and it's an open net. And Gittens makes it two. Jamie Gittens. The upset really is on. It's the opposite scoreline from the UEFA Champions League final on June the 1st. Breaks to Mbappe, gets to the byline on the right-hand side, chips it across, and there's one back. Antonio Rudiger with a near post header. Like a bullet past Kobel. And the comeback is on. Lovely pass. Mbappe, Vinicius 2-2. Two goals in a matter of minutes. Real Madrid are level. Vinicius Junior has scored. And the comeback is well and truly on. He might get an inadvertent 1-2. He does. Lucas Vazquez! Right footy drills it home. The comeback is complete from 2-0 down. Real Madrid lead 3-2. He's got the captain's armband and he's broken Borussia Dortmund hearts. Still he goes, Vinicius Junior. Right footed, what a goal! What a goal from Vinicius Junior! What a way to cap the night! Vinicius Junior twist turns and then whips it left footed past the goalkeeper. He's showing off now. What a night this is. 1, 2, 3, 4. Make it 5 for Real Madrid.
Yes, 5 unanswered goals in the second half for Carlo Ancelotti and his team. And, full-time whistle was about 10 minutes ago. Players are out on the pitch still doing some of their post-match flash interviews. Vinicius Junior has the biggest smile on his face. Leanne, I mean, he was absolutely unplayable in that second half, wasn't he?
He was, and I think ultimately when you're one of the best players in the world, everybody will be out to mark you in games, and at halftime he probably felt quite frustrated because there were times where Brandt was like putting in these unbelievable tackles, but he stayed in the game. He got on the ball, he was going 1v1, he scored three different types of goals within the game, and that is what makes him one of the best players in the world. He can do everything. He can chop inside, go right, go left, hit it left foot, hit it right foot, equally as good. And that's why I think, you know, this game was unbelievable. One of the best we've seen. Only match day three, Chris, as you mentioned, and it's been unbelievable. What a game.
It was. It felt like those knockout games we've seen here when Real Madrid, in the blink of an eye, scores some goals. Richard, that one when he dribbled from inside his own half, that was my favourite anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm finding it hard to pick out. I mean, I enjoyed the whole match, and I want to say what a contribution as well from the away team, Borussia Dortmund, who was superb for large chunks of the game. But if we're focusing on one man, you know, he's got the man of the match. He was the UEFA Champions League player of last season. He's got the match ball tonight as well. And the first goal was I mean, it was fortunate how it came to him, a tackle on Mbappe, and it came across to him, and he pretty much had an open goal. But as you mentioned, the second goal, he's run from inside his own half, and it was his pace against some tired Borussia Dortmund legs that just got the better of him. And then he just coolly, you know, gets away from a couple more players, whips it right-footed in, and that meant the game was over. And then he got another chance, didn't he?
There was times
in
the first half, though, wasn't there, Richard, where he hesitated, and we were like, he has that in his locker where he can just bang it top corner. Easier said than done. It's not an easy technique, but those are the standards that I think Vinicius Junior has set. But he was hesitating, wasn't he? And then Borussia Dortmund were able to kind of get around him, block everything. But in the second half, he found a solution to the problems they were presented, and he was unbelievable.
Yeah, in a way, he found the solutions to the problems. The whole team found the solutions, didn't they, to the problems, and they had multiple problems, didn't they, really? Because I was mentioning they haven't lost at home, Real Madrid, since April 2023. 38 matches unbeaten. That looked really in danger tonight.
2-0 at the break. And we saw they had a couple of chances late in the first half, which in hindsight is easy to say. Maybe that was the, you know, the prelude to what was coming. But at the break, Leanne, Dortmund were very well deserved of their 2-0 lead. They could have even maybe been more than that.
For sure, and I think in these types of games, similar to the game tomorrow, Bayern versus Barcelona, you focus on all the attack. But I think defensively, I thought they were exceptional. You know, Brandt was putting himself in there, Sabitzer. They were always in amongst it, and then they picked their moments. So I do think Borussia Dortmund deserve a lot of credit. But then the 60th minute conceding, Rudiger scores that goal, the willingness to get on the end of it, really good ball into the box. But I think, you know, Borussia Dortmund can be proud for the first 60. I know Shaheen was gutted on the sideline.
That goal, the one that ultimately, and we heard, Richard, your commentary, the Rudiger header, which kick-started it all. The ball from Kylian Mbappe, who, you know, Carlo Ancelotti is trying to work out and perfect this puzzle, which, you know, he will do over the coming months. And ultimately, Real Madrid know they want to peak in April, May and win this competition again. But did we see there exactly what Mbappe is going to bring to this party, which was already pretty good anyway?
Yeah, listen, it's Kylian Mbappe. He can score 40-plus goals.
He can score a hat-trick in a World Cup final people don't remember because of Messi. Yeah. You know, this is the quality we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, well, what a terrible problem, isn't it? I said that before the match for Carlo Ancelotti. He's got Kylian Mbappe to pick in his team. I mean, how wonderful is that to have Mbappe, Vinicius, Bellingham? As you say, it's about how do you solve that puzzle then? How do you fit them all in, make them defensively solid enough to then allow those attackers to flourish? There was a danger tonight that wouldn't happen, but ultimately it's happened big time, hasn't it, with 5 goals in what, 35 minutes?
Special mention to Luka Modric as well, because I thought the second half, although he went off in about the 25 minutes into the second half, I thought he was brilliant. He was running the show and he was pulling the strings, as you mentioned, Richard.
Yeah, he was fantastic. 39 years of age, you know, you would think at that age he'd be a bit part player, but he's at the moment really important to Real Madrid. Carlo Ancelotti has said as much as well, and he's going to have a big part to say in this season, not just domestically, because they've got the Clásico coming up next, but in the UEFA Champions League too.
It was a time when Borussia Dortmund were going to make it 3 wins from 3. They're still on 6 points, still an excellent start from them. Obviously, that won't be of much consolation after the way they played. And they did have a major chance at 2-2, which Thibaut Courtois made that save.
Yeah.
And of course, if that goes in, maybe we're talking about another great storyline, that although Madrid came back from 2-0 down, ultimately Dortmund then managed to find a way to make it 3-2.
Well, as Leanne was saying, even just before half-time, it was a fantastic shot from the edge of the area from Julian Brandt. Great save from Thibaut Courtois, and then Gittens had another opportunity. And as you mentioned, at 2-2, Maximilian Bayer, who'd just come on the pitch, you know, there was 2 or 3 players in the box. Eventually, he got the shot away, and it almost squeezed through the legs of Courtois, just managed to keep it out.
It went through his legs, and he was able to kind of put his leg behind it. It was crazy.
And about 60 seconds later, it was 3-2 at the other end.
And that's what makes him one of the best in the world, because that's what happens. Goalkeepers don't always get the credit they deserve, but in those moments, that save you mentioned on Brandt before the end of the first half was unbelievable.
So both these teams then on 6 points in this new league phase after their 3 matches, and the team who are top of the table are Aston Villa, who were winners tonight against Bologna. Of course, winners in the early 1980s. They hadn't played in the Champions League era in this competition, though, so some start from Unai Emery's side. No surprise, although perhaps a surprise that it was a goal from the start of a game for John Duran, who's been the super sub for Aston Villa this season. He was given a start, he opened the scoring, and then John McGinn opened the scoring, with a free kick from the right-hand side that evaded everyone and nestled in the back of the net, and then John Duran made it two. Villa Park was absolutely bouncing again, and they have really taken to this competition.
Unbelievable. I mean, Unai Emery, what a manager, what a coach. He seems to be able to set teams up in Europe and just be able to get the job done. I mean, being Bayern Munich, who would have thought that, you know? No one would have expected Aston Villa. They thought they were going into this competition just to kind of make up the numbers to a certain degree, but they're top as we speak. Like, what a performance it was during this matchup tonight. Big decision as well, putting Ollie Watkins on the bench, and Duran deserves that. So I think, you know, Emery needs to be given a lot more credit. When he went to Arsenal, I don't think he got really given the opportunity, but he can win these types of competitions. Europa League, he can do that. He's done it with many teams. Sevilla, Villarreal, beat Manchester United in the final on penalties with Villarreal, so he knows how to get things done.
Yeah, you worried for Aston Villa a little bit because, you know, they're having to try and win matches in the Premier League. Could they cope with that? You know, they're not like a team like Manchester City, like Arsenal, who have been in the UEFA Champions League for many, many years.
Well, we saw what happened to Newcastle last year, didn't we, really?
Exactly. I know it's only three games in, but what we were talking about from this new league format is the statisticians have put their heads together.
Yeah.
They reckon 16 points should be, not guaranteed, but what, 98% certain, should be enough to get you into the last eight. So, I mean, they've got nine of those 16 points already, Aston Villa. I mean, what a start to the league campaign for them. Fantastic to see. And, you know, credit, as you say, to Unai Emery, because he's balancing that, you know, those matches every 3 days. They got a fantastic win at Craven Cottage at the weekend. Not an easy place to go to. And now they've got another win tonight.
Yeah, and remember, a whole new generation of Aston Villa supporters are learning to love this competition. Their mums and dads and grandmas and granddads talked about the winning it in the early 80s, and now they are enjoying watching their team in 2024. Aston Villa 2, Bologna 0 tonight. Elsewhere, it finished Paris Saint-Germain 1, PSV 1. Noah Lang opened the scoring for PSV before Ashraf Hakimi levelled in the second half. And then Walter Benitez made a wonderful save from a late Marquinhos header with almost the last touch, actually. An excellent point for PSV, who are having a wonderful season in the Dutch Eredivisie again. We've mentioned, I guess, in the end, what was a surprising scoreline at the Bernabeu, given how the game went. But this one, maybe, in terms of what many people would have thought maybe the most unlikely scoreline of the night. Juventus nil, Stuttgart 1. And they were well worthy of this. Juve had already saved a penalty. And Mattia Perin had put on a brilliant performance before. Eventually, they found a way through with a very late goal from El Bilal Touré. And you saw the scenes, Leanne, in the away end when Stuttgart finally did manage to beat the goalkeeper. Wonderful occasion for those supporters, and a great 3 points for Stuttgart tonight.
Yeah, obviously, being a former Juventus player myself, I always look out for their results, and it's a fantastic result in the end from Stuttgart. You know, no one would have expected them to go there and get that result, and they did. And then I think the fans deserve to celebrate those types of things. I've had many moments when I've been at that stadium. I was there when Cristiano Ronaldo scored that overhead kick against Juventus. And it's a difficult place to go to. So to be able to go there and get that result and pull it off in that way, I think it's really good.
And they were excellent. Stuttgart away at Real Madrid on match day one. 1-1 in the Bernabeu until Madrid scored two late goals. Which is a story that we've seen again this evening and we've seen so often. So after a point at home to Sparta Praha, they now have their first win in the Champions League this season for Stuttgart. So they are upwardly mobile in this new league phase. And Arsenal, a narrow winners against Shakhtar. In the end, it was an own goal from the Shakhtar goalkeeper. Could do nothing about it. Gabriel Martinelli with the shot, which hit the post, came back off the post and then hit... as I mentioned, the Shakhtar keeper, who was disappointed as he went off at half-time, Dmytro Riznik, but then he saved a penalty in the second half from Leandro Trossard. They could have equalised right at the end, the side from Ukraine, but Arsenal, certainly in the Champions League, Leanne, this is their second season back after a long period away, and you just sense that momentum that Mikel Arteta's team are playing with. Even if they didn't win in the Premier League at the weekend, that they're targeting a long run in the Champions League.
Definitely. I think doing it without Bukayo Saka as well is massive, because obviously they've been heavily reliant upon him in recent years. Gabriel Jesus getting the start. I think Calafiore, since he's come in there as well at fullback, I think he's done a relatively good job. I think he's added something different. Obviously, last year, Zinchenko played there a lot, would occupy almost playing in that back three, driven across the field of play. Came under a lot of criticism. But I think this competition for Mikel Arteta is massive this year. I think every single season Arsenal have progressed, but they're not winning trophies, and I think that's how you're always going to be judged, on winning games. And I think it's a really good result for them against a really good Shakhtar, the next team.
So Arsenal in the league table, up to 7 points from their three games, and they'll be very happy with that. We can hear from their boss now, Mikel Arteta.
Very pleased with the results. Obviously, winning Champions League is always difficult and important. I think there were two very different halves, especially the first half. We were very dominant, should have scored another two or three goals. We didn't. This is Champions League. And we left the game a bit more open, you know. But yeah, we dig in. We got the results. So happy days.
1-0 to the Arsenal. The old phrase from many a year ago. It finished Girona 2, Slovan Bratislava 0. Great night for Girona. Their first ever win in the Champions League or in European football. The first goal, a thumping finish from Gutierrez, and then a free kick, which did take a slight deflection from Wampe, was enough. They also had a penalty saved as well. It was certainly a night for them, but congratulations to Girona. And it finished Sturm Graz 0, Sporting 2 this evening. Viktor Gyökeres with a wonderful goal to make it 2, beat his player, then bullied past another, sat the goalkeeper down, and coolly slotted it home. 13 goals in 13 games for his club this season. Leanne, I know you're a fan of Viktor Gyökeres. He's some goal scorer.
Yeah, and we spoke about it before. As a goal scorer myself, when you're in form, anything you kind of touch turns to gold. And I see that within him as well. I think ultimately being able to kind of bring other players into play as well, not only just score goals himself, but I think the touch, the first touch, being able to do it, similar to Olivier Giroud, you know, when he was playing with his back to goal and able to pop it off. But I think as a goal scorer, you're always going to be judged upon how many goals you are scoring. He can score different types of goals, and that's why I think makes him such a top goal scorer. And in modern day football, that position is kind of becoming obsolete, isn't it? Being able to have that number nine, that player that can put the ball in the back of the net, and he's doing it in an incredible way.
Certainly, as Nuno Santos gave Sporting the lead in Austria, a 2-0 success for them, and they are another team on 7 points, just behind Aston Villa. And certainly Ruben Amorim's team are excelling again in the UEFA Champions League. Still to come on the podcast, we're going to look at the two early kickoffs in the Champions League on Tuesday.
Take UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats, and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
So here's what happened in Tuesday's early matches as AC Milan hosted Club Brugge and Sevena Zvezda went to Monaco.
Pulisic with the corner! Freakish goal! Milan in front against the run of play. They'll all run to Pulisic. A goal he needed, big time. Bent Leysen lays it off. Sabo, 1-1. Brilliant equaliser from Brugge's 10. Off the bench, onto the score sheet. The good cutback for Reinders. And Milan lead again. Super subs to the fore here. Rafael Leao hasn't even got to the dressing room. Brilliant footwork from him again. That is superb. It's not that dissimilar from the one a moment ago. Same man's got it, Tiani Reinders.
Now the flag stays down for Minamino, who taps it away. He's clearly onside. So Monaco lead. It's Ndiaye. He levels for Zvezda. Sent Majewski the wrong way to put Sevena Zvezda right back in this contest. Rocken finds Mbolo. Might come back to him. Monaco lead 2-1. Brill Mbolo in the final seconds of the first half. Oh, that's incredible! An incredible goal from Wilfried Tsingo. Oh, it finds its way to Mbolo and Minamino! His second of the night, Monaco's fourth. Monaco looking for a fifth goal, and they've got a fifth goal. Mahrez, Akliouche. Monaco's sensational start to the season continues. They have won this one by 5-1.
Yeah, they really were superb, and Ardi Hütter's team, who are having a fine campaign in Ligue 1, are also having a very good opening to this league phase. They have 2 wins from 3 games and 7 points as well. And their player of the match was Takumi Minamino, who's been doing the maths after his side's victory.
We need minimum 10 points, that's my opinion. And yeah, now we are close to the 10 points, that's very good. But after this game, our opponent is very strong, so we should be working hard and yeah, we will do it.
Minamino there. I love how all the players are hearing it now. They've definitely been talking and thinking about how many points they need. Next up for Monaco, and Minamino referenced it there, is a trip to Bologna on match day 4. You heard how Milan beat 10-man Club Brugge in that match at San Siro. Their player of the match was Tiani Reinders, and here are his thoughts after full-time.
How we played was too slow, especially in the first half. We didn't find the spaces because the ball circulation wasn't there, and that made it for Brugge, made it more easy. But luckily we switched it up in the second half and scored some good goals.
Well, the person who was asking the questions to Reinders was our reporter Tommaso Sardella, who watched tonight's match at San Siro. He told me that Reinders was in a very positive mood after the final whistle.
He said that this game was very, very important for the next step in the Champions League campaign for AC Milan. And I think that they must win this night. So they gave what they want.
And how impressive were Club Brugge after going down to 10 men to initially get it back to 1-1? They showed a lot of resilience, didn't they?
Yes, because they didn't expect that the Club Brugge started the second time with this intensity. And they found the equalizer in a few minutes. So a very problematic situation for AC Milan. But they reorganized and played very well to the end of the game.
And just finally, we have to speak about this 16-year-old Francesco Camarda, who thought he'd scored his first goal in professional football. It was disallowed for offside, but that must have been some moment when that ball went in initially. What an occasion for that young man.
Yes, I think that he lived a very, very emotional experience, because all the stadium was singing for him, and he was the main star of the game, in my opinion.
A brilliant night for AC Milan. A lovely stat as well about Reinders. Just the third Dutchman to ever score 2 or more goals in a single Champions League match. Of course, they're a club with a wonderful history of great Dutch players. And how about this with some illustrious company? Marco van Basten, who got 4 against IFK Göteborg in 1992. And Clarence Seedorf, a multiple Champions League winner, who got 2 against Shakhtar in 2007. So AC Milan up and running for this season. That was their first point. So how about this, Richard and Leanne? Not everyone has played 3 matches. We have more games on Wednesday, which we're going to get to very shortly. But the current top 8, who would automatically go through, Aston Villa, Monaco, Sporting, Arsenal, Dortmund, Brest, Benfica, and Leverkusen. You know, there was a lot of talk about bigger games earlier, more clubs as well. And I think we are seeing that mix of clubs now who have made such a positive start to the league phase.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how it does conclude. The feeling is teams like Real Madrid, they've had the setback. Do they then push on? And what it means now as well, you know, often we get to match day 5 and 6 and teams are already through. Obviously, we're not going to get to that point here. You want to be in that top 8 because you don't want to play those extra 2 matches for starters, and also you don't want the jeopardy of maybe then being knocked out of the UEFA Champions League. So it's interesting to see how as a debut season having this, how it all pans out. Right now, yeah, it's a mix of some real surprise names. I wonder how many surprises there'll be, first of all, in the automatic eight that go through and in that bottom eight that end up being knocked out.
I think Richard makes a really good point there because, as you mentioned, sometimes teams are already through after the second game, so they start to rest players, whereas things will be different now. You've got the likes of Liverpool, Real Madrid that are not in that top eight. So I think it's a game changer this year, the fact that the format has changed.
And something else as well, Slovena Zvezda and Slovan, who we saw losing on Tuesday, both have 0 points after three games, but they are still very much within touching distance of 24th place, which would extend their season at least by a couple of games. So you can see how this new format is going to give plenty of opportunities throughout this league phase, which runs all the way through until January this campaign, and we can't wait for that. More Champions League football is definitely a winner on this show, and there is another night to look forward to this week. Here is all you need to know ahead of Wednesday's matches. The headline game is Barcelona against Bayern at the Camp Nou. 4 years on from one of the most remarkable matches in recent UEFA Champions League history.
Thiago pokes it over the top and it's back across goal. And here's another chance and another goal for Coutinho. Well, I cannot believe what I am seeing. Bayern have scored an eighth goal against Barcelona.
Yeah, the German side won 8-2 back in 2020 when current Barca boss Hansi Flick was in charge at Bayern. He had this to say ahead of their meeting on Wednesday: the past doesn't matter, only tomorrow. We've got full commentary of that game here on Matchday Live. Elsewhere, Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola has issued an injury update ahead of his team's match against Sparta Praha. And it's bad news for Kevin De Bruyne fans.
He doesn't feel completely fine. He has to be fit for his football. Has to be completely fit. He doesn't feel comfortable at all, so he cannot express his incredible potential at his best. So that's why he's training a little bit better. He said to me, still, I don't feel good. So don't feel good, take your time.
The Belgium still missing after picking up an injury earlier this season. Kyle Walker and Oscar Bob are also out. And Xabi Alonso says he's expecting a very difficult test in France as Leverkusen and Brest put their 100% starts to the new league phase on the line. That match at Gangon is one of the two early kickoffs. Three wins from three would put either in a very strong position to finish in one of the top 24 spots. We're on air, UEFA Champions League Matchday Live from 8:45 CEST on Wednesday, around 15 minutes before the late games get underway in commentary of Barcelona against Bayern. Leanne, I know you are looking forward to this one a lot. We heard from Hansi Flick, both clubs flying domestically, as you might expect. Harry Kane against Robert Lewandowski, and again, like we saw at the Bernabeu, two champion clubs facing off very early in this competition.
Massive matchup, and I'm looking forward to this one. You mentioned Harry Kane there. He's one of my favourite players to watch in the world, coming off that hat-trick against Stuttgart. And I think there's just going to be lots of goals, lots of attacking, but I think the focus also has to be defensively as well in this game. I think Upamecano has been good this season, and I think it'll be, what a matchup this is. Manchester United, we talk about this one tonight, Borussia Dortmund, Real Madrid, but Barcelona, Bayern Munich, like, doesn't really get much bigger than that.
And we were talking about that bit of jeopardy in this new league phase. Of course, Bayern were beaten by Aston Villa before that, unbeaten in a competition record 41 group stage or league phase matches, winning 37 of them. But having lost to Villa, Richard, they now have a trip to Barcelona, which doesn't get much tougher than that. And all of a sudden, Vincent Kompany's side will know that, yeah, it's a very important night for them to get something. Otherwise, they might be chasing those top eight positions.
Yeah, suddenly you lose two matches out of three, and that adds, Leanne will know, you know, you've played, it adds the pressure. Now, we're talking about big-time players here that normally know how to deal and handle that, but you know, tomorrow night there can only be one winner. I mean, let's face it, we've got the teams that are first in both the Spanish La Liga and the Bundesligas. We just saw the teams that were second and seventh tonight. They were pretty good, weren't they? I mean, that was a bit of a match. It's got a lot to live up to, I'll tell you that, though.
We can't wait. Full match commentary coming up. One of the nine games. I'll just quickly run through them. Brest against Leverkusen and Atalanta Celtic are the two early matches. And then following that, Manchester City against Sparta Praha, Leipzig Liverpool, Atletico Lille, Benfica Feyenoord, Salzburg Dinamo Zagreb, and Young Boys Inter, as well as that match between Barcelona and Bayern. Let's hope it's half as good as Tuesday's games. Unai Emery, we can hear from him now after Aston Villa's victory, and he says John Duran wanted to stay on the pitch when he was subbed for Ollie Watkins, and he wants to get more goals after scoring Villa's second against Bologna.
When he watched it, he was thinking to change him. He accelerated and he scored the goal. It was fantastic. And he was asking me more because he's thinking he could score more goals. But okay. You did a very good work. And the next time is for Watkins and keep going.
I love that from Unai Emery. That was really good. I mean, he has got two top strikers banging form to choose from, Ollie Watkins and John Duran, and he won't mind who scores the goals. Richard, Leanne, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Some nights for Aston Villa and, of course, at the Bernabeu, where those two were commentating. Don't forget, you can download the official Champions League podcast shortly after every match night of this season's competition. We'll be back on air on Wednesday with full commentary of that heavyweight matchup of Barcelona against Bayern. Plus, we'll bring you all of the goals as they go in from the rest of the night's late games. My thanks to Leanne and to Richard for their company on this Champions League Tuesday. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.